realfaith.org.au.
There was a little child was bitten by the school rabbit. She came in crying, "I've been bitten by the rabbit." When I looked at her finger, there really wasn't anything there at all. She just needed some reassurance. But with the OCD kind of worry, I wrote a note, put it in her bag, and thought, well, that should be fine. Life goes on, but not for me.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, it's not uncommon to hear someone who's quite fussy about something being accused of having OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, what's the matter with you? Are you OCD or something? It's mostly done in a disparaging way. But what really is OCD, and what is it like to live with it? We'll get some insights today from our guest, Rosemary Burke. She's the author of the book, The Lava Tube, A Christian's Personal Journey with Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. Rosemary, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad to have you with us. And you hear that occasionally in everyday conversation. People use the term OCD?
Yes, they do, quite a lot, especially these days.
And what is a way that you've heard it?
Well, I've heard people when they're maybe at work wanting to make an excuse for the fact that they want to go into more detail in something or that they want to be really prepared. They'll say, oh, that's just my OCD coming out. I really want to check on this question or have this detail covered.
Yeah, so we hear it all the time and a lot of times in a disparaging way, not always to the person's face. Oh, he's just OCD about that or whatever. But that's not actually what OCD is.
That's right. Yes, OCD is a type of anxiety disorder. Like people may get depression or other kinds of anxiety, but it's the one that's often the butt of jokes, really.
Yeah, I mean, how sad is that? I mean, there are people who are really suffering with this, and then to hear somebody kind of using it in a flippant way.
Yeah, it's all about how we deal with things that are out of our control in life, which is a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's where we might have thoughts in our minds that we just can't stop. They're distressing thoughts that go around and around and become an obsession that we can't seem to, no matter what we do, no matter how we rationalize it, we can't get rid of that nagging thought that really begins to bother us. That's an obsessive kind of thing.
Okay, well, I want to ask you a question. Please help me.
Sure.
I've had a nagging thought, and this is real. Right here in the studio, a while ago, I forgot to... Well, actually, I incorrectly put in the security code. And then the next day, they pointed out, hey, somebody forgot to put in the security code. So since that time, when I leave this building, I double check. Did I put it in? Is the light on? Double check the door. And sometimes I'll be in my car and I'll be thinking about stuff. I'm like, oh, now did I do it? And I'll go back. I'll walk all the way back and check, is the security light on? Is the door locked? You know, I'm getting kind of obsessed about this because I don't want to, you know, be told again, hey, somebody forgot to put the security code on. Please tell me, Rosemary, do I have a problem?
Eric, it only becomes a problem if you find that you might go back to the car maybe two or three times and go back and check that you've done the locking up properly. Or you might get to after dinner time and you might think, maybe that was yesterday that I locked up properly. Maybe tonight I didn't. I better go back and check again.
Well, I'm feeling better now. If I go back and I check the door and it's locked, I'm fine. I go home and I don't think about it again. Yeah. What happens with somebody who has a problem?
Yes, it would be that that person can't get it out of their minds. They feel uncomfortable, worried, and stressed that there are going to be enormous repercussions for not locking up that night, not locking up properly. It might affect people's lives. It might affect the business. The worries become gigantuan in their scope for someone who has OCD.
Now, sometimes I'll get a phone call from somebody who's left earlier and say, hey, Eric, can you go check and see if the heater is off in my room? Because I think I forgot to turn it off. And then I'll go check. I'll say, yeah, it's off. And then they'll go on with their lives. Now, somebody who's starting to get into unhealthy thinking, even though they've been told the information that they needed, they'll still worry about it. Is that kind of the difference between healthy concern and a problem?
Yes. Look, it could be that it starts to become a bit of a habit, those worrying thoughts, that even to have the reassurance of a colleague that that the heater's off, that they can't trust themselves that they have turned off that switch, even though they have.
So it keeps on going around and around in their mind, even though they've been told the information that should have relieved the anxiety.
Yes, that's right. And rationalizing and checking doesn't seem to be enough to get rid of that nagging thought.
Now, you know about this.
I do.
From personal experience.
Mm.
Let's find out your story. Let's go back to when you were very young. When did you first start to notice that things were not quite right?
Not quite, yes. Look, I had a very happy-go-lucky childhood in the main, but around about the age of 12, and I'd grown up in a Christian home and was a very good girl, at the age of 12 I caught glandular fever, which was in those days called the kissing disease, because it's passed on by people coughing on each other, and saliva sharing drink bottles, things like that, and yes, kissing too. And I developed this without any kissing of anybody, any boys. And I noticed, due to the reaction of a couple of people at that time, I started to slip in OCD type patterns.
Now, I'm not following. How did that come up from having this fever?
Yes, sure. Well, while I was very sick, first of all, I couldn't understand why a happy, fit little girl would get so sick.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a misunderstanding there. But I was visited by a relative who took me aside when my mum went to make her a cup of tea and asked me, "Rosemary, now that your mum's out of the room, tell me really, what have you been up to catch this? You must have done something. You must have been kissing someone. You're a naughty girl if you don't really come up with what's really happened."
Wow. Like really putting a guilt trip on you.
Yes, and because she was a trusted person, I didn't really know what to do, what to say. Suddenly I thought to myself, well, there must be a way I can prove I'm a good little Christian girl. And I started to slip into behaviours that indeed made me as good as I could be.
Mm.
It did start off at that time, at that age of thinking if I read a Bible verse every night, I wouldn't get sicker. That kind of strange little quirky habit that started to slip in.
But do you think that kind of stigma or the implication that, hey, there's something wrong with you, that kind of was causing anxiety?
Yes. I felt, I guess, misunderstood. And then I put all my effort into presenting myself as, perfect, really.
Because you wanted to keep that anxiety away.
Yes, that's right.
But it was impossible because you never kissed anybody in the first place.
Yes, that's right.
So it was never going to work.
Mm. Yes.
But you were going to try and try and try and be the extremely good little girl.
That's right. Yes.
Then what happened?
Mm. Well, it waxed, the OCD, which was undiagnosed because it was the 70s and there wasn't a lot of information out there. I knew something wasn't quite right. My parents did too. But
it manifesting in other ways?
Mainly it would be like practicing my music pieces, handing in assignments, things like that, making them perfect. Writing things three times to make sure that they were done because I liked the number three and kinds of strange things.
Wow.
Strange things.
Now, I was going to just ask you, what's the difference between a perfectionist and somebody with OCD?
Mm. I think a perfectionist really enjoys the satisfaction of doing things to the best of their ability and goes home feeling satisfied. Whereas with someone with OCD, they just feel it's never quite good enough. There will always be the most extreme or rare complication in their lives that may be their fault, and that gets them down really badly.
So if you like things to be perfect and you get it to that level, then you're happy and you walk away, hey, I did a good job.
Mm.
But somebody with OCD, they're just never going to get to that point of being satisfied with it.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting back to your story.
Mm. Well, it waxed and waned through my teenage years. And once I got to move into nursing, things seemed to settle down. It would just, those obsessive compulsive thoughts would only come on when I was under a lot of pressure, maybe exam time or something like that. But most of the time, I was feeling pretty good.
Okay. Now let's fast forward to your adult years, and it kind of came up again.
Yes, that's right. Things were going pretty well over the years with those OCD type feelings. Occasionally, I'd be a little bit suspicious of myself, wondering if I was getting some tendency towards anxiety. But I thought, no, I should have everything together. I know what I'm doing. Have a strong faith.
Mm-hmm.
I've studied a little bit of counselling, communication. No, I'm all good.
Okay.
Unfortunately, when I became a school nurse, this was when my children were quite young. I have two children. And the job became quite stressful. I started to notice anxiety building up inside me at work. And this is where things really began to unravel.
Okay. What were you anxious about?
It seemed that when children would come to the sick bay, instead of assessing them in first aid with first aid measures, I started to tip into worrying about all the things that might happen to them, the very rare situations that might be involved in why they'd come in the first place.
What would be an example?
Oh, an example would be there was a little child was bitten by the school rabbit.
Okay,
and,
that happens.
On the end of her finger, and she came in crying, "I've been bitten by the rabbit." When I looked at her finger, there really wasn't anything there at all. She just needed some reassurance. But with the OCD kind of worry, I wrote a note, put it in her bag, and thought, well, that should be fine. Mm-hmm. There's no scratch. There's nothing there. She's happy again. She's gone back to her classroom.
Life goes on.
Life goes on, but not for me. A few minutes later, I was worrying, maybe she, what if she doesn't take the note out of her bag and give it to her mum? She might develop an infection that nobody knows about.
Oh,
and it
wow.
might become go.
So this is where it's getting out of the realm of
yes
normal concern.
Yes, into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
So the scenario would go that she would then get really sick and die, and they would lose
wow.
their child. She wouldn't
You're
get
thinking,
to grow up.
Oh my goodness!
Everyone would hate me. It would be incompetent.
Is this like 2 a.m. You're thinking about this in the
oh quite quickly. Yeah, and then again at 2 a.m. as well, yes.
Oh, wow, so it's just coming back. This is just haunting you.
Back again. So I went to the phone and I rang up and left a message on the answering machine of the family home and said, your little girl has been bitten by the school rabbit. All looks good, but I just wanted to let you know.
Take her to the emergency room right away.
Oh, well, I knew not to do that, but it felt like that.
Yeah,
it sure did.
Yeah.
And but then half an hour later, I thought, I wonder if their answering machine works. Maybe it's broken.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're back to the start again. Maybe she won't take the note out of the bag. So I rang up again, and the grandma of this little girl answered the phone, and she quite gruffly said, "Yes, I did get your message. I know about the rabbit. It will be fine. I will tell her mother." And to me, that was...
Just leave me alone here.
Yes. So that was reassuring in a way, because yeah. I'd had the backup of grandma. But then I started to think, well, what if grandma gets sick and doesn't pass the message on. So here we go.
Oh, paralysis by overanalysis.
Yes, perfect. So that unfortunately started to tip into a lot of the children that were coming to sick bay for various reasons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So were you starting to get a reputation? You were sending everybody home.
In the last couple of weeks, yes. I think I probably was. The office staff were starting to notice.
Why aren't there any children in the school? We just want to
Where
know.
Have they all gone? Yes, Mrs. Burke is sending everybody home now. Yeah, so unfortunately, I did have to resign. And
oh, wow. So this is the difference between just kind of a little bit of a concern, a little bit of anxiousness, but now this has actually caused you to lose your job.
Yes, that's right. It was a professional disaster.
Yeah.
I set a resignation date, but my stress levels with the anxiety were so high, I didn't get to that date, and I had
wow.
left early.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our guest today is Rosemary Burke. She's sharing her story about her battle with OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll find out how her faith has helped her to heal and how she's in a much better place these days. That and more when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is Rosemary Burke. She's sharing about her battle with OCD. She's the author of the book, The Lava Tube, A Christian's Personal Journey with Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. Before the break, we heard how her OCD became so unmanageable that she actually had to quit her job. Now we'll find out what happened next in her life.
Oh, well, I curled up in a ball at home, trying to figure out what was going on with me. But I did go to the GP, and I walked in the door. He'd never seen me like this. I walked in the door and said, I've cracked up. I don't know what's going on. And he asked me to explain what had happened that day. And I went into a scenario of all the things that were bothering me in the school place. One example might be that indicated to him that something was wrong with my anxiety levels was that people with asthma, children with asthma, mm-hmm. use Ventolin puffers,
yep.
and
we
change them every now and again at the school to make sure they haven't expired. But it seemed to me that even though I had checked the expiry dates on the box of the Ventolin puffers, I hadn't opened up each box and checked the actual dispenser.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was keeping me awake at night.
So you told this to your doctor?
Yes.
And he responded?
Rosemary, I think you have nervous exhaustion.
Wow, yeah.
Here are
yeah.
some medications to get you through the next few days. I want you to see a psychologist right away. I want to see you at the end of the week. And if in a few weeks that hasn't helped, I'll be sending you on to a psychiatrist for some further help. And I thought, wow, this is me. How can this be me? I'm Rose, the faithful Christian person who's got her act together. But indeed, I hadn't. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, well, let's talk about what was the role your faith played in all this.
My faith was and remained huge throughout this whole awful phase of my life. Mainly, it was probably about 2 years with its intensity. I always believed that God would be there for me. But I did believe I was letting him down a lot. So I needed to...
So another thing to worry about.
Yes, yes. No, was I good enough? Why had I failed? I'd let down my family. Now all the school knew that I'd become sick because it had been put in the school newsletter that I was stressed. So my confidentiality had also gone. So there was no quiet place to have a breakdown and realize that I can get sick just like anybody else. There can be matters that are beyond my ability to control. And what was I going to do about that?
So what helped?
In the end, I did end up with a psychiatrist who's been a friend for many years and still is and helped me with some of the editing of the book. But what helped was a holistic approach. First of all, accepting that I was sick, that I did have OCD. And that helped me to be a lot more accepting of a lot of other people or with mental illnesses. I realized that I needed to let the nursing go, which had huge consequences for the family. But that was okay because I believed God would be working together to work things out, and I trusted him on that. I tried medications. Still am on those. That'll be a lifelong thing. It's not for everybody. I had regular counseling and psychiatry assistance. I got information and self-educated, so I would know more about what to expect, what other people were experiencing. And I kept in touch with my church community, backed off a whole lot of commitments. But wherever I could find anything that sewed into my spiritual life, I'd marry that up with the rest of the things I was doing.
What was helpful as far as your faith life?
Yes, there were things when I couldn't think straight enough because I was so unwell to read a book or anything that was very deep. I would find maybe psalms or photographs, verses, songs that would just bring peace to my heart when I was feeling very anxious. And I ended up making a little CD of favorite tracks and I would play that. Or I'd go and have a quiet time in the bush or a coffee with Jesus or something like that, just to help calm myself down.
So you know God loves you.
Yes, yes.
And that's got to bring great comfort.
Mm.
And he wants the best for you, but yet this irrational, could we call it irrational?
Yes, yeah.
Extreme anxiety about these things kept on coming. So was it a spiritual answer? Was it a medical answer? Although it sounds like it was all the above.
It was a combination of answers. People with a spiritual belief do often get on better with recovering from or learning to manage.
Is that right? Why is that?
Yes, yes. It's because we have a more holistic approach to life. We often believe in a higher power. For me, obviously, it's Christianity. But it seems that people of faith do have a broader perspective on life. And for me,
and how is that helpful?
Oh, it means that there's someone out. Well, in Christianity, for me, that's the only one I can relate to. There's someone bigger, closer to me, closer than a breath that is cheering me on.
So your personal relationship with the Lord,
yes,
knowing He's in your corner.
That's right,
as you mentioned, cheering you on.
Yes,
that's really helpful.
Right. Yeah. So if I have a challenging thought that's really bothering me.
What do you do now?
Yes, well, I would. There are various methods called cognitive behavioral therapy. There are other things
to
do.
Try to use words I can understand.
CBT. You might hear people saying that's my CBT.
Okay.
But yes, sure.
What is
that? It's a little practice of how maybe I can distract myself from the worry that is bothering me by doing something else, by thinking about something else, or turning on the radio, changing my activity to distract myself from the bothering thought. And then I always remember that Jesus is with me while I'm doing that little method of control. And most of the time these days, later on in the day, I'll forget what I was worried about in the first place.
Oh, ideal.
And which is great. Absolutely.
So you're in a healthier place now.
A much healthier place. And I do feel for a lot of Christians who may not know what's going on for them, and they may feel that they are letting God down, that they're not good enough for Him.
Mm.
And this can be a really paralyzing and sad thing that they're going through. And nobody's let them know that for Christians, we're not immune to things going wrong in our lives.
We can get mental illnesses.
That's right, yes. And there's something we can do about it, but it can be a very distressing time.
Okay. Somebody's listening today and saying, yes, I can identify with what you went through. I'm anxious about something. Even though I'm told things will be fine, I still feel anxious. It keeps on haunting me. It keeps coming back, you know, like what we were talking about earlier. What should they do?
Yes. Well, I'd say go and see your doctor, a trusted doctor that you have. Your GP is a great place to start, because they know who you are. If you don't have one, start to ask friends. Who's a GP that you've got that you trust? You can go and talk to them and let them know how you're feeling, what's happening for you as well. And you might have a group of Christian friends too that know you well. And just be understanding that they may not be able to relate or understand what you're talking about, because it can sound a little weird and out there with OCD.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they may have some good ideas too, but it's to stick to those who are really supportive and surround yourself with people who are going to track with you. And even if your world gets smaller for a while, it can get bigger again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've just scratched the surface of a lot of issues that are involved in overcoming obsessive compulsive disorder. To find out more information, obviously they can read your book and learn about your journey and what you've gone through.
Yes, that's right. That's, I guess, I had the option of not writing about my story, but I realized very early on that I wanted to keep a record of what God had done through me through this process, so I could look back at how we'd got through together. And also I thought, I couldn't find a lot of information for Christians. When I would go to the Christian bookshop, I couldn't find much on the shelf, or there would be things that covered normal worries of life, normal anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's great and that's fine. But there was nothing to the depth that I knew, because of my own experience, other people might need.
Yeah, yeah.
So my book is about my story rather than self-help, because I'm not a professional.
Yeah.
But just hopefully to break down some of those barriers so people will realize they can feel well, they can learn to manage this particular condition.
There is hope.
Absolutely.
God loves you. He wants the best for you. As you said, He's cheering for you.
Yes.
But you do need to get some help.
Yes, that's right.
If those worries or concerns just won't go away and they're escalating. Now, you actually said you went to Thailand on holiday and were worrying about stuff.
Yes, that's right. That's probably a couple of months before I actually had to leave the schoolwork. There was a boy who'd run a cross country. And he was tired and he didn't really want to go back to class after the big cross-country run. So he came to the sick bay. And I said, well, you don't have a temperature. You've got your breathing back to normal and you're hungry and you're looking forward to the next activity with your lunch and time to go back to your classrooms. He said, oh, all right, off I go. So I put a note in his bag saying that he'd attended sick bay and had felt a little unwell and he was back to normal. But unfortunately, as these obsessive thoughts started to creep into my mind, that letter didn't seem to be good enough. I started to worry maybe his mother wouldn't take the note out of the bag.
Oh.
It was the day before school holidays. Maybe they wouldn't get the note till the end of school holidays. And by then, maybe he may have developed a terrible disease.
Oh, my goodness.
Which meant that he would die and nobody would have known that they could have caught it early.
Oh, wow. And
so,
and meanwhile, you're going on holiday in Thailand.
That's right, in Thailand. So I was at the shopping center. I was buying last-minute things to go on the big holiday with the family, and I was on the phone trying to ring his mother, and, of course, she wasn't home. She was at work. So who is this lady? What is she doing? So we went on a holiday to Thailand, but for me, I was distracted most of the time by worrying about this boy. So I would watch the Thai television, which is a bit hard because it's not in English, and see if there are any...
Looking for his picture to be on the screen.
To be on the screen.
Literally.
That's right, like CNN down the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the ribbon that goes along says, you know, child dies of meningococcal disease because undiagnosed early enough.
Because of his nurse.
Because of his nurse. So
wow. That's when you know you have a problem.
That's right. That's right.
So thankful that you're in a much healthier place these days.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Our guest today has been Rosemary Burke. She's the author of the book, The Lava Tube, A Christian's Personal Journey with Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. For more information, the website is thelavatube.com. That's thelavatube.com.
You've been listening to Real Faith. And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.